Hey there, I'm Susan.
And I'm Jessica. Welcome to the Eavesdrop on Us podcast, where we have real conversations about what it's like to be in business these days. Pull up a chair and welcome to the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Eavesdrop on Us podcast. I'm your host, Jessica.
And I'm Susan.
And welcome back to another fun-filled week of conversations. Susan, I wanted to start off today before we get into today's juicy topic, which I'm really excited to talk about. Can I share something really cute that I saw in my social media feed that I thought you would really appreciate?
Always, please.
Okay. I don't know how this popped up in my feed. I think I must have pressed something that led me to someone retargeting me. Who knows? But I was absolutely delighted to see this. And I'm going to read it to you. And I would love to just know, like, your business reaction to this. So the headline is, this is from the Worcester Public Library in Massachusetts. The headline is, library fees, no problem. Just show us your cat photos. So listen to this. The Worcester Public Library in Massachusetts announced that people who have lost or damaged a book can bring a photo, drawing, or magazine clipping of a cat and get their library cards reactivated. The library calls the program March Meowness, a way to forgive members who misplaced a book or damaged a borrowed item. The program has generated hundreds of returns, multiple postings of random cat photos on the library's Facebook page, and photos and drawings pinned on a growing cat wall in the building. So that just absolutely, like, I loved when I saw it. I screenshot it and I was like, I know I'm going to do something with this. And so I would love to know from your perspective, Susan, what impresses you about this? I mean, besides the obvious cuteness, because we're cat people.
Oh, we are. Well, I would say we love animals, period. Mm-hmm. Right. Whether it's two, four-legged or otherwise, we love animals. So that always catches our eye. But to your point, I love the creativity. You know, the old expression, zig when they're zagging, and they sure zagged on this one, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Right? Did they challenge the stereotype of a librarian? Yeah, I would say they shattered it. They made it fun, timely. Sure, there's some stereotype in play there, but that's part of the fun of it, isn't it? I mean, I love the firm tongue-in-cheek. And I want to see everybody's cat. That's kind of cool. And don't we all need a little fun and forgiveness in the same instance? Yes, please. I love it. I think it's very creative. And yeah. I love the idea that the trustees gave them the green light for it.
Yeah, I wonder what that conversation was like. Can you imagine someone like, all right, I've got the solution to all these, overdue fees and damaged book problems. Let's just have people bring pictures of their cats. Can you just imagine that conversation?
I would have paid to be there. But I think what's really cool about this is that, you know what? I bet you they got an uptick.
Well, that's what this post is saying, is that their program generated hundreds of returns and obviously, like, totally re-engaged their social media page with hundreds of postings of cats. So I think it's one of those where what grabbed my attention was the timeliness. I mean, just when you think my business can't take advantage of this, you know, current event of March Madness, it's like, oh, that doesn't apply to my business. I'm like, it's a library that has taken this on.
Okay, so I see the rifting there. And mm-hmm. Yeah, you can lift it and model it and all that. But, you know, you're right. It's a way of making it yours. And I think there's really something important there. But, you know, also what I think is really incredible is the fact that people are really going to reintroduce themselves to a public good, the library. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say it. Now, was this Worcester, Massachusetts?
Yeah, it is, yes.
Worcester. Let's say Worcester, because we do have a lot of friends over in the EU and Ireland and New England, you know, born and raised. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't say, you know, Worcester. There's no R there.
Well, that's how I think it's just in the realm of accents. I don't have the New England, like, I don't drop my R, so I would say it as Worcester.
Yeah, no, it's Worcester.
I know, but like to me, when people are like, "You're from New England, where's your accent?" I'm like, "I don't have one. Doesn't exist."
Normally that comes up when I'm really tired. You'll start hearing the North Shore of Massachusetts. So it's not true Bostonian, it's North Shore, and it is distinct and different. But I think what I like also about this as a business case study is stop doing things just because that's the way you've always done it. Mm. You can be richly rewarded for taking a chance, take a small risk. What did they have to lose? Nothing. They had everything to gain on this. And honestly, even if they lost, quote unquote, we're talking about it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I suppose it sticks out to me because it's like, how can you take something in the library's case? It's the, we're dependent on people returning books. Yeah. And then I think people, when they're like, oh no, it's been forever, I'm just never going to go back and I can't participate in the library. Like, how do you incentivize people with something fun as opposed to something painful? Like, well, now you owe money. We'll pick a common denominator. Half the time people, like, you're going to just the way we love our animals in this country. Yeah. It's like, you know, get people to talk about their cats if they have cats, and you're good to go. So anyway,
small business could really model that and, mm-hmm. you know, pause for a pass. I mean, you could just, I mean, the alliteration you could just have with this. But I would want everybody to understand, if it is fun, if it is pithy, if it is lighthearted, if it is community enhancing, your community will come out and reward you for it. So have fun.
Yeah, I think that's the takeaway for that. So I wanted to start off with something fun, Well, whenever I scroll, I'm like, I'm scrolling with intention on social media. I'm like, I'm looking for something that's going to inspire me. So obviously I saw something with a cat and I had to screenshot it. So, so let's get to today's topic, which all I did was introduce the topic to you ahead of time, which I'm actually really liking this direction of, you know, when we first started doing the podcast, it was like, okay, so what do we want to say? How are we going to organize it? Who's going to say what? And I think that the two of us were like, that's just not how we have conversations. I think I've liked this shift of going back into like, okay, so what's come up? Literally, this was the conversation. What came up for you during the week?
Yeah.
And I want to bring up a topic, Susan, that I hear people talk about all the time. I see it in my social media. I hear it in podcasts. It's this concept of get to the next level, grow to the next level, aspire to the next level. It's always like this, the next level. And I think the two of us doing the work that we do with business owners, we very much bear witness to what it looks like to go to the next level. We support people in going to the next level. And I think there's some, this is my perception anyway, I think there's some mystery surrounding that concept. Like, everyone says it. I think generally people understand what it means, but how do you actually, what's required of you as a business owner? And what's required to happen in your business to get to that next level? I think that would be a really engaging conversation for someone listening to this who has said in 2024, I want to get to the next level, but I don't know what that looks like or what that is required of me.
The funny thing is it can arrive in two ways. This week I had an example for these two ways, and that's why I'm thinking, you know what, I'll just touch on one, but I'll deep dive on the other, mm-hmm. because I think the other is going to serve us. But there is a way to up level, and it's going to feel like actually we're not moving forward or outward. And that up leveling is, make sure we have our P's and Q's taken care of. So it's looking back a little bit, making sure that our systems and processes are sound, our SOPs are sound, our next hires are out there ready to be welcomed on board, our clients are coming in. So it's really basically doing an all systems check. Mm-hmm. And so that could be a moving up, moving forward, because in order for us to do that, we have to make sure that things are sound and solid. Okay, so now I'm going to pivot to the other one, and I think which is more common. And that's really, you know, the person or persons that own a small business and they've been at it for a while. And I'm going to say a minimum of 5 years, right? They're dialed in. Now they're ready to go to that next level. So let's define what that next level is. That next level could be simply building on what they've already created. It could go to the extreme of, yikes, we don't know what that next level is. We may need to bring in a specialist to help us craft that out for a while. Hello, fractional COO. So you have a spectrum there too. And one is not better than the other. They both add a lot of incredible value, line equity to the business, fun, I may say, because, you know, once things are set up, there's some predictability, there's opportunity that we can leverage and really pick up some momentum.
I have to jump in because in no other realm would anyone ever associate SOPs and writing down systems with fun. So internally, when you're like, both pathways introduce fun, I'm like, well, for us, they do. I think for the typical business owner, you know, I'm thinking of some of the conversations we've had. It's the, you know, the aspiration and desire to grow the revenue, to bring on a team member. And people are like, you're still laughing about that. I'm like, yeah, in no other world would anyone associate that with fun.
Well, I need to speak to that because that is one of the biggest things I hear often. And it's like, are you kidding me? A root canal sounds more fun. And, you know, that's a fair assessment, but I would push back by saying the following. When they're done and when they're implemented and when they're proven, now the fun begins because you've created capacity to grow and maybe do something a little bit different in your business or leverage and capitalize on what you've done. So that's the fun for me. It's like anything else. You have to do a little sweat equity into it and then enjoy the benefits thereof. So
it just gets me thinking too, in that respect, you know, how many business owners talk themselves out of getting to that next level, which, and I think we've had many conversations with business owners who are kind of, they've gotten this far and they're tired. Everything feels like it's on their shoulders. They may have some team support, but certainly not to the extent that they really need to continue growing. And so there's that fear of like, if it feels like this right now, there's no way I can get to that next. And they talk themselves out of it. And I think that's a really heartbreak. It must be so heartbreaking from your perspective because the solution is so obvious.
It's literally taking a horse to water in the water and the horse chooses not to drink and not to say in a disparaging way, the owners of businesses are horses, but it's providing an immediate solution. It's right here. It's here. And there's that just resistance of, yeah, but I have to do so much. And it's like, not really. Two or three major things, but that's done. Once you're done, you're done. You've done it. It's done. It's like putting a roof on your home. Once it's there, it's there.
Well, why do you think that so many talk themselves out of it or resist it or just they're not interested in it? And I know that's going to vary from business owner to business owner.
It does. It can vary from just outright fear, lack of funds. So they think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to put ours under just to do that. And it's like, yeah, but you've just leapfrogged forward and you're creating capacity, opportunity. But it's a real thing. This is not anything to be giggled at or trifled with. It's a real fear for them. But, you know, there tends to be that. And then, you know, honestly, it's taking a look at there are holes in the business.
Ooh.
Yeah. And not everybody likes to embrace that. And, you know, COVID, ooh, child, let me tell you, COVID showed us where a lot of holes were in everybody's business because we all had to punt and pivot and scrum, you know, nice little scrummage. We had to do things vastly different. And we got to see how nimble or not nimble, flexible or unflexible inflexible, whichever you want to use, your business is. Mm-hmm. And some people aren't willing to confront that.
Mm. Well, then that could be a whole episode. Oh, bless you. Was that a sneeze or a cough?
That was a cough.
Well, bless you nonetheless. Yeah, I think that that could be an entirely different episode in and of itself. But I do think it's one of those where if you are a business owner listening to this and you do have that desire to grow and you're like, but the idea of creating systems and writing all that down is creating resistance. It's sort of confronting like, well, why? Why am I not? I think that's always a helpful exercise is like, why am I avoiding this? Yeah, what is triggering, for lack of a better, I don't know what other word to use, but what is this triggering for me? Yeah. What have I been avoiding? And what do I think this is going to reveal that's going to potentially frustrate me or annoy me or really upset me? So I do think that's something, well, I know that's something you talk about with your clients.
Yeah, and I always get, so it's usually fear. Mm-hmm. For a big thing, like, gosh, that sounds so big or overwhelming. And it's just new. That's all it is. It's new more often. And then I'll get that could change my life as I know it. And that's where a lot of the fear comes from because mm-hmm. of what it can develop. And here's the thing. Sometimes we're afraid even of different without ascribing a judgment upon it, whether it's good, bad, happy, sad, just different. And some people don't, they really love what they have and they're really happy there. And I say more power to you, man. If you have that awareness, rock on, you know, carry on. However, if you do recognize that in your small business, yikes, we really need to switch something up. We need to shift something up. We need to engage with this. And well, that you need to hear that, listen to that, that those are the holes in your business speaking to you without beating you up.
Mm. Yeah. I suppose before we get into the second pathway of what to do to get to that next level.
Yeah.
This question just came to mind. What do business owners think they need to do to get to that next level? My initial gut reaction is I feel like a lot of them say they just need to keep doing what they're doing with the same like resources, same ideas, same capacity. It's like, well, if we just keep doing this and more of the same, we'll get. So I'm wondering, when you talk with business owners, what do they think they need to do and have in place to get to that next level?
Well, I would suggest they rewind this and listen to what the Worcester Library did.
Mm. Don't you love that? That was not my intention, but I was like, I'm just going to bring up this cute thing. And we've connected it in seamlessly. I love it.
In this instance, it really is something that different, but it isn't. Because what did the library do? The library just maintained its original intention. We need the books and we need the revenue to sustain our business and our service to community. Okay, same thing. We need to sustain and continue service to our community, our clients and customers alike, and also evolve as a business. You know, introduce it to a new market, new people, new opportunities. So you have to pivot a little bit, not drastically, but there are individuals and there's two ways you can go about it, Jess. And depending on what types of overall gross revenues, I'm not talking bottom line net revenue, I'm talking gross revenues. This is really going to drive it because you can bring in a fractional C-suite member. And that would be, for those uninitiated, a C-suite is basically small business renting out the wisdom and the expertise and the practical wisdom of a chief executive officer, chief financial officer, chief information officer, and in this instance, chief operating officer. And they are the officers, senior leadership team for small business. And you know, in depending on the region, it really depends on what their yearly earnings package will be, but it does start at least 180,000 and up. Pardon me. I'm fighting a cold, folks, so forgive me on that one.
Well, let me use that opportunity to jump in here. Let's take it two steps back before we even get into like salaries and C-suite. Remembering our audience, like small business owners are like, wait a second, we don't even have a seat. Like what? Like it's just me and like a few people, or we've got this nimble operation. Yeah. What do you mean that I would bring on a fractional COO? Like that sounds so sophisticated, so fancy. So well, to your point, it is, right? That's what you're saying. But I think it was more of a...
It's not really.
But I'm thinking of the person who's saying to themselves, like, well, that's not, like, I'm not, my business would never be ready for something like that.
But I would challenge anybody's business when they're in the process of evolving. It's not for you or me or anyone else. The business is going to tell you what it needs. So we bring in these experts to have an opportunity to assess, diagnose, and basically suggest and present a solution.
Mm.
So when I'm looking at a chief operating officer, what we're looking at is the back office stuff, right? It's, we have great sales, good, awesome. We have terrific marketing, even better. So we have the onboard. Well, how are we doing on the onboarding? It gets a little wonky. How are we doing loving on them? Well, okay. Could we do better? Yes, as a matter. Okay, that's an operations we can take a look at. Because as we have learned in the past, 80% of our email list or past clientele, that's where our business still is. They like, know, and trust us. Let's love on them and create repeat opportunities. A new client is always much more expensive than an existing one for
reason. Well, I love how like that's where so many business owners obsess, which is like, we just got to get new leads all the time. Like that is the thing they're obsessed with. And it's like, wait, yes, that is important. And we would never say to someone, don't focus on that. But I think you've demystified to some extent when people are really evaluating, like, I want to get to the next level. Who do I need around me to help me get there? It's not necessarily five more marketing people or another marketing strategy or another sales strategy necessarily. It's your ticket to freedom.
Yes.
For things to not always be on your shoulder, for you to get to that next level of performance and revenue is in operations.
Always, always. And it's no different than you would say, okay, I have a great car, but how's the engine? I can have a great looking sedan or truck. Yeah, but how's the engine? You know, it ultimately comes down to the engine. Well, the engine is your operations.
Mm-hmm.
And it really can be as complex or as simple as you want it to be. But ultimately, you know, if you're getting into, now I'm going to talk to micro entrepreneurs. Hey there, our fellow folks. When we're talking to 10 million or less, gross. This is where we get into quasi land, where you may hire somebody. And I'm going to say it's really from 3 million to 9 million per year. That's where you bring in the fractional participants. Once you get past 10 million, then you bring them on full time. Okay. We've learned a lot from small to medium-sized enterprises and corporations here in the micro small business arena. And we thrive and we are one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of our great strengths is that we're nimble. We can make quick changes in the need, right? We can respond or react with ease. Small to medium-sized enterprises and corporate can't. Why? Because they have a whole bureaucracy. Well, this is our strength. We don't have to have these people on full time. We can just take the benefits of their wisdom and knowledge and abilities, have them come in, solve problems, introduce opportunity and ease, and then jump back out. So it's not an all or nothing paradigm, and you get to benefit. Now, let's talk about the ones that are like, holy, what are you talking about? Okay, so I want to grow my business. I like the idea of bringing in people, but I don't know if I'm that ready. If you're not, bring in an advisor. An advisor is a person that could be professionally positioned to guide you as to, yeah, you're ready or no, you're not ready. Now, not all advisors are COOs or CEOs, CFOs, not all of them. Some are like we are. Mm-hmm. So you have to ask, right? You have to have an informative conversation. You know, the resources out there are really slim for micro small businesses. It really is. It's kind of a no man's land in that 3 to 9 million slot. There aren't a lot of options, but the fractional player.
Well, and I think what's nice about that is because I do think, speaking to the nimble structure that a lot of these business owners have, is I may not want to hire all these employees. I may not want the overhead. And the beautiful thing is you don't have to, but you need someone like that around the table because that's going to be the differentiating factor between you continually kind of operating at the same kind of plateau versus going to the next, literally the next level that you want to go to.
Yeah. And they have perspective because again, too, see, this is a hidden benefit. They're not in the day to day. They'll come in for a certain block of hours per month. So they have some perspective. They have some separation between what you and your team do day to day. So they're coming in with fresh eyes and fresh ears. That's invaluable. That's just really, that's fantastic stuff to take advantage of.
Well, and what I keep going back to this because I just have so many conversations with people who are like, well, we just need to make more revenue. We just need to make more money. And it's like, if there's inherent problems with you feeling overwhelmed and tired and frustrated and stretched too thin, bringing in more customers, more clients, more leads is not going to solve the problem. And so I'm glad that we had an opportunity in this episode to talk about really what is required if you want to get to that proverbial next level in your business.
Another, you know, so I talked about various ways, right? You could bring in C-suite members and, you know, the smaller businesses, and I hate doing this because when you're pulling in seven figures or more, nobody wants to be called small. So I say this with absolute respect and real genuine respect for what you've done and been able to achieve. But in this instance, you know, you've had a board of advisors, if you will, your trusted team. And we've always referred to it as your butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, because you have to have these people. That's your financial professional, that's your real estate, your commercial insurance, you know, your advisor, your so on and so forth, right? As you get up there, you need them just a slightly, just a bit less. And this is where you're leveraging in more into the professional folks who do this day in and day out, you know? So, you know, your CPA may be able to lean into things and give you some tax strategy for your business and give you some guidance. Okay. But at some point you're going to need a fractional CFO, financial officer, financial advisor to give you some more sophisticated guidance as you're ratcheting up in the levels.
I think that actually should be very exciting for people listening to this and approaching that level in their business. What?
I think folks should aspire to it. You know, it's, you don't have to do it all alone. We're not meant to do this on our own. This is not a Lone Ranger enterprise. This isn't.
Well, and I think, again, as we've reiterated, and I think it bears repeating, it's the what got you this far with the team you had around you, with the strategy you were using, with the resources that you had, is not necessarily going to help you get to that next level. So I think, Susan, we've unpacked that. We've gone through, I think, some really, I think, simple shifts. And I hope people, business owners listening to this, have had a light bulb moment of like, oh, that's what I need to get there. And actually, it can be possible. And it's not going to feel necessarily as difficult as it will be right now. Because if I bring the right people around me, I can ease that pressure and start introducing more fun. So Susan, is there anything else that you would say just to wrap up as if speaking to someone who is aspiring to grow?
Yeah. If it triggers you, have a conversation as to why. I think that's the most important takeaway I could provide anybody hearing us right now, because it's important to understand, are you holding yourself and your business back because you're afraid? not because your business will fail, but because simply you're afraid. And that's a kiss of death for a business. Mm. So, you know, as they say, buyer beware, be careful of the thief that we call fear.
And on that very practical note, Susan, well, I think it's very practical, though. Not everything is going to be like, you know, a big hug. I think that's one of the things that we offer. So anyway, Susan, this has been, as always, a very, very valuable conversation. So thanks.
I love your example. I hope everybody really embraces that visual and ask at the end of the morning, how is that going to help me in my business today? How could that make a difference? How could I model that? Because that it was a terrific share. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. All right. I'll see you next time, Susan.
I look forward to it.
We hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, remember to hit subscribe. And to stay updated, head over to iwantocollaborate.com. I'm Jessica.
And I'm Susan.
See you next time.